One's got his groove on. Man. Rock the boat. That's cool. See, you need to come out to VBS. Even if you're not, you don't have kids, you can still come out and watch and pray and maybe they'll get you involved still. So, and you can help rock the boat. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. This morning when I got up, I was driving over here. It was a little early yet, and there was quite a bit of fog out this morning. I don't know if you were up this early enough to see it. It's quite a bit of fog. And you know, of all the driving conditions, driving in snow, driving in rain, driving in, for me, the worst is driving in fog. I don't know what it is. You can't see ahead, especially in heavy fog, you know, you can't see ahead of you. You can't see what's behind you, what's off the side of the road. I just get a little claustrophobic. I don't like driving in the fog. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about a different kind of fog. We're going to talk about living in the fog. In the favor of God. A little trick on words there. Last week, we looked at the wickedness of man and what some might call drastic measures that God would bring judgment on the wickedness and the perverseness and yet would preserve the righteous through the flood. Look here in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. This is a critical verse in this chapter. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found favor in the eyes of God. You know, I can just imagine how Noah must have felt knowing that he had found favor in the eyes of God. I can imagine what it must have been like to be inside that boat as the rain began to come down, as the boat began to lift off the ground and started floating. I can imagine how day after day, night after night, for 40 days and 40 nights, as the rain kept coming down, what it meant to Noah to remind himself that he had the favor of God. I don't know about you, but I want to know, God, do I have your favor? When the storms in your life, storms in your marriage, storms in your finances, storms in your job rage, what would it mean to know that you have found favor in the sight of God? You might be thinking, what does it mean to find favor in the eyes of God? Maybe you're thinking, if that's true, how do I get it? How do I get God's favor? Well, those are two questions that I want to raise today. And then answer those questions, not from my own opinion, but from rather the Word of God. Specifically here in Genesis chapter 6. And mainly through the life of the man called Noah. With that in mind, here are the two questions. First, what is God's favor? What does it mean to have the favor of God? Again, verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Now let's stop and reset the stage here from last week. To begin with, you recall that the human race in Noah's day had become so corrupt that God continually and acted against God continually, that God decided that he was going to wipe it out. We're told that every thought and intent of their heart was evil. There is no place in their mind or heart for God. God had been wiped out from their thoughts, their intent. They were only focused on evil. In fact, in verse 6, it says that the Lord regretted. Can you imagine this? The Lord regretted that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I made them. Just think about this. God's heart was broken. God was troubled. God was saddened with the corruptness of the human race. But Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Stop right there for a second. Let me tell you, first of all, when the Bible talks about favor, let me make sure that you understand what the favor of God is not. The favor of God doesn't mean that God does favors for you. You know, you listen to some pastor, some TV evangelist, you would get the idea that we have, when you have God's favor, it means God's going to do all the favors you want. It's kind of the ideal of a God is like a genie in a bottle or genie in a lamp. You just rub it a few times with the right prayers, with the right amount of faith, and out pops this genie God who says, let me grant you three favors. Let me grant you your wish. It's kind of the ideal if you're driving in the parking lot and it's a hot day and you're like, oh, Lord, just can you give me a good parking spot? Now, that doesn't mean you can't ask for a good parking spot. But when we have this favor mentality, it sets us up for disappointments. Sometimes we don't get that good parking lot spot. See, God is not a God in a genie bottle. And that's not what we're talking about when we talk about the favor. He doesn't jump out to grant you your wishes, to grant you favors like Aladdin. To have favor with God deals more with having God's pleasure. That God is pleased with you. Look again at verse 6. In verse 6, the Lord regretted that he made man on earth, and it grieved him to his heart. In other words, God was displeased with the entire race of people. He was displeased with them. But Noah, here comes the contrast. But Noah found favor in God's eyes. Meaning what? Meaning this. Meaning there was something about Noah that brought God pleasure. There was something about this man Noah that when God looked at him, he was pleased. There was something about Noah that when God looked at his life, it just made God smile. And folks, that's the part of what it means to have favor with God. It's the ideal that God is pleased with us. So that's one facet. But here's a facet I want to concentrate on today. Having God's favor is knowing that God is for us. He's not only pleased with us, he's for us. You know, we sing sometimes when we're not doing the rap, but we sing sometimes about God is for us and he will never leave us. He will never fail us. But listen, Noah was about to lead his family. Noah was about to lead his family through a storm of epic proportion. Noah was about to lead his family through the flood, like which there had never been before. And like there's never been since. But here is what Noah knew he had. And if you are a Christ follower, you have the same thing. Here's what Noah knew he had. Noah knew that he had the promise of God's favor. By that I mean he had the promise that God was for him. Here's what God's favor is. God's favor is the promise of his provision, the guarantee of his presence to accomplish his plan in your life and through your life. Let me say it again. God's favor is a promise of his provision, a guarantee of his presence to accomplish his purpose, his plans. Knowing that God will provide, that God will come through, gives us hope. That's so important when you're trying to navigate the storms of life. You see, when you're going through the storm day after day, week after week, what you sometimes need to help you through is just a little bit of hope. I know it's what I need. Let's look at Noah's life. Remember, rain started and lasted 40 days and 40 nights. And folks, it rained like it had never rained before. And even after the rain stopped, for months, all Noah could see was water. Day after day, he would go to the window and open to look to see if he could just see the tips of a tree or the peak of a mountain somewhere. He was surrounded by water, north to the south, to the east, to the west, day after day, week after week, month after month. All they did was float in the sight of water, with no dry land to be found. You know, it must have been getting pretty frustrating inside that ark. Tempers were probably starting to get short. And how long can you smell elephant poo or giraffe? How long can you take it? All Noah could see day after day, week after week, month after month was water. You too have stood where Noah stood. You have been flooded with sorrow. You've been flooded with anxiety in your marriage. You've been flooded with stress, the office, on the job. You've been inundated, deluged with anger in your heart because of the way things are in your life. And you've wondered day after day, week after week, month after month, is it ever going to stop? You wondered if God is ever going to deliver? Is God ever going to come through? Listen, when you're going through something like that, you need precisely what Noah needed. Just a little hope. You need some reassurance that God is going to come through. And God gave Noah that hope. He gave him that reassurance. Every day after the flood, Noah would search for dry land. Day after day, week after week. He would send out the dove, and the dove would fly around and come back wet, cold, and shivering. The dove would come back having found nowhere to sit, nowhere to land. This went on day after day, and finally, read this in chapter 8, verse 10. Where Noah waited another 7 days and again sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came back in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. When that dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. And then Noah knew. Knew what? He knew there was hope. Folks, that olive leaf was more than evidence of dry land. It was evidence that Noah had God's favor and that God actually was going to come through. By the way, don't you love it when God sends us olive leaves? Reminds us that there's hope. Let me tell you that. Tell you, God loves to do that. He loves to send the olive leaf. He answered, I can help you with those finances. We're going to get through this together. Somebody says that the evil that you did is unforgivable. Jesus says, not only do I forgive you, but we can start all over again. The physician looks at the x-rays and says it's terminal. The great physician looks at you and says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he hands you an olive leaf. Sometimes that's what we need. For some of you, I believe you're here this morning because God wants to use this message to hand you an olive leaf. God is telling you that he's going to get you through this storm, that he's going to provide for you, that he's going to come through for you. Amen? Do you believe it? God's favor is the promise that he is going to provide. And God's favor is a guarantee of his presence. Back to Noah. God's presence went with Noah into that ark. Listen to Genesis chapter 7, verse 13. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Jephthah, and Noah's wives and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. And then verse 16. Then the Lord shut the door. I love it. Noah didn't reach out and close the door. Noah was over there doing something, working with some, feeding animals. And all of a sudden, he looked in God's presence, grabbed the door, and shut it. It's as if God was saying, Noah, you're not going to go through this alone. Noah, my presence is going to be with you. Let me tell you, isn't it that wonderful to know? Isn't that what you need to know? I know it's what I need to know. When I'm about to navigate the storms, when I'm trying to lead my family, my church, my friends, my wife through the storm, don't we just want to know that God is with us? His presence is going with us? That's what Moses wanted to know. Flip over to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Remember, Moses was going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. They'd been in bondage for 500 years in slavery, and God sent Moses to be the deliverer for them. And he's like, I can't do this. And there's people of Israel, they were tough. In Exodus chapter 33, in verse 12, this is what Moses said. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Saying, look, you want me to do this? But I can't do this alone. Who's coming with me? Who's my help? He goes on, you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. He's recalling that God has said he has favor for him. Verse 13, now therefore if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. Verse 14, and he, that is God, said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Friends, nothing can give you rest. Nothing will give you peace of mind when you're trying to navigate the storms of life. Nothing more than knowing that God's presence is with you. Let me tell you this. If you are a child of God, not only his presence with you, but his presence literally is in you. Because the moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior, God's Holy Spirit took up residence within you. He abides in you. That's why Jesus says, I will never leave you. How can he leave you? He's in you. I will never forsake you. How could he forsake you? His presence is with you and in you. Watch what Moses said. I love Exodus 33:15. Moses said to him, said to God, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring me up from here. Moses was trying to lead God's people through the storm of Egyptian bondage. He was trying to drag them, pull them to the promised land. Moses says, God, if this is what you're calling me to do, God, if this is your purpose, if this is your plan for my life, for me to lead these people, then God, I'll do it. But God, I don't even want to start this. I don't even want to go up from here unless your presence is going with me. Who knows? Maybe you're here today. You come in the door and there was a storm in your marriage. You're drowning financially. You're fearful of your future. You need to know that God's presence, his very presence, is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God loves to slam the ark door, boom, to remind you that he is with you. And again, this message, his presence goes with you and gets you through that storm that you're going through. Do you remember the story of Elijah? The prophet, enemies of God, of God's people were encamped around them, and his servant is fearful. He's like, how are we going to survive? The enemies are ready to take us over. And Elijah said, God, open his eyes. And God opened his servant's eyes, and he saw the armies of God lining the hillside. It was God's way of saying, my presence is with you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'm telling you, that's what God is wanting to say to you today. He's with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. His favor is on you. He is present with you. Folks, let me tell you, it's not arrogant to say, I have God's favor. In fact, in a way, it's kind of arrogant to say we don't. Because to acknowledge God's favor means I'm acknowledging that I can't do this on my own. That it's only when God is with me, when his presence is with me, when his power is for me, that I can get through this storm. Because without it, I'm going to sink. The boat will never float. But with God's favor, with his presence, with his promise, we can make it through the storm. Make no mistake about it. God has a plan for you, just like he had a plan for Noah, just like he had a plan for Moses, a plan for Elijah, just like he has a plan for this church. He wants to flood you with his favor, with his provision, with his presence. So that raises one final question. Here's the obvious question. How do I get God's favor? If God's favor is the promise of his provision and his presence, the guarantee of his presence to accomplish his plan in my life, how do I get it? Well, here's what you need to know. Every Christ follower has God's favor. And here's why it's the case. It is because it is our faith in God that triggers his favor. Noah didn't have God's favor because he was a good man, though he was. Noah didn't have God's favor because he was a brave man, certainly he was. Noah had God's favor for one reason, and it was because he trusted God. He had faith in God. One last passage I want you to look at, and that's over in the New Testament, to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. The writer of Hebrews says this. Without faith, without trust, without believing, it is impossible to please Him, to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Verse 7, by faith, by trust, by believing in, by acting on that faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen. Rain. He'd never seen a deluge. He'd never seen a flood like this. He'd never even seen an ark. And yet, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah, go build an ark. What's an ark? Don't worry about it. I've got a blueprint. Noah, flood's coming, but the skies are clear. Don't worry about it. I know the forecast. Faith triggers God's favor. You and I trust what God says about Christ, and that is Christ is the Savior. And that if you trust Him, if you call on Him, He will save you. When you and I trust that, when we believe that, it triggers God's favor in our lives. Not only does He save you, give you eternal life, but it triggers His favor. And what's His favor? It's the promise of His provision and the guarantee of His presence to fulfill and accomplish His plans in your life. God has showered you with His favor. Yet so few of God's people actually walk in God's favor, actually live and bask in God's favor. God wants us to live in the fog and the favor of God. I can see through the fog because I'm walking in the fog. I can see through the mist and the fog of the storm in my life because the favor of God is with me. Live your life expecting God's favor. How do you live in the live your life in God's favor? Live your life expecting God's favor, expecting God's provision, expecting God's presence. By that I mean, when you're going through the storm, begin praising God for what He's going to do. Praising God for who He is. Praising God for the way, though we don't know yet, He's going to provide. Because God inhabits the praises of His saints. It's like He's up there. You know, one day He's talking to Gabriel, and you're in the midst of your storm, and you begin to praise God. And it gets God's notice. And He comes, and His presence is there in your praise. He inhabits the praises of His saints. God's favor begins when you trust in Christ as your Savior. Think again of verse 7. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, by trusting, by belief, I believe in You, God. I believe You when you sent Your Son to die on a cross. I believe You. I trust You by faith. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events yet unseen, the rain, the flood, the things to come, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood that was to come, from the judgment that was about to fall. With that in mind, listen to what Paul says in Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In other words, just like God said to Noah, build an ark. And if you build an ark, you're going to be saved through the flood. God is saying to you and to me and to everyone else, if you trust in Christ as your Savior, call upon His name and what He has accomplished on the cross, to believe and trust in Him for your eternal life and salvation, you will be saved from the judgment to come. You will be rescued from eternal death if you trust in Him. And not only that, not only will you be saved from the flood of judgment, but you will have God's favor on your life. Father, most gracious God, we thank You for the promise of Your provision, for the power of Your presence, for the favor that You look at us through the blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and are pleased and delighted that because of who we are now in Christ, You smile. Lord, be pleased in us. Help us to find and know Your favor. Help us to walk in Your light so that others may come to know the favor of God as well. We pray in His name. Amen.